now, as many of us prepare for some sort of break over the holiday season, it's time to reach into the RN library bag and think about what to read next. RN's Kate Evans has read a lot of books during the year for Books and Arts Daily and Books Plus, so we thought she wouldn't be short of a recommendation or two. Good morning, Kate.
Hi, Kathy. Nice to be with you.
Now, lead up to Christmas, and it's a horrendously busy time of the year. I'm not sure how you'd squeeze in a book at this time of the year, but we could probably pick up a page turner. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I think if we start with those books that you can read while you're slightly distracted, while you're, you know, stirring a Christmas cake, I'll start with crime. And for people who don't read crime, don't worry, I'm going to talk about other books as well. But there's a lot of good crime fiction out at the moment. And I think that you know, that they're things that you can get lost in quite quickly. Now, Ian Rankin, the Scottish writer, he has another book out in the Rebus series. It's called Saints of the Shadow Bible. Now, if you've never read Ian Rankin before, it can certainly make sense to you, but in a way, it's one for the devotees. And as always with Rankin, you get some really interesting stories about Rebus, who's such a complex character, but he's also an old-fashioned cop. And in this book, he says, like, I'm from the 80s. I looked at life on Mars and it just felt like my life. And it's also set during Scottish independence. So he manages to intertwine, you know, ethical and political stories about policing, great stories about Rebus and all the characters that those of us who've read him have come to know, but also what's going on with Scottish independence. So I've actually lost track of how many Rebus books there are in the series, but there's a lot.
So you're talking about an established writer there. Is there anything sort of completely new in this genre?
There's a lot, because it is such a popular form of fiction. And it's also a way that people write about place. So, you know, Michael Connelly writes about Los Angeles. Peter Corris, who's got a new one, writes about Sydney. But there's an Australian writer called Catherine Titterse, and she's just published one called My Island Homicide, and it's set in the Torres Strait. Now, I don't know about you, Kathy, but I couldn't remember reading any other Australian fiction set in the Torres Strait.
No, and it's a sort of a play on My Island Home, isn't it?
Yes, and she does it really well. She lives in the Torres Strait. She's lived there for about 20 years. Her husband is a Torres Strait Islander, and she has 5 Torres Strait children. Mm. So she takes us into the place. The crime element isn't as interesting, but as a novel about the place, it's completely engaging.
What about what else is in the library bag away from crime?
Well, Hannah Kent's Burial Rites has been one of the big books for the year. It's been enormously popular. We haven't moved entirely away from crime because it's the story of the last woman executed in Finland. Now, Hannah Kent is an Australian woman, but she's written this novel about Finland, and she actually spent time there as an exchange student. So it's a 19th century story, and it takes you into this dark, moody, white landscape and into... Well, it's both a mystery about exactly what happened, because it was a murder case, but also you've got somebody who's faced with her own execution. And because of the structure of Finnish society, she actually lives with a local family. And the houses, as they're described, are tiny. It's claustrophobic. I mean, she's right there next to this family and their maidservants, and they're all really worried about her. But it's also, it becomes this really interesting story about poverty. And a lot of it, I mean, it's fiction, but Hannah Kent went into the archives. She read all about this woman. There's a whole lot of evidence about her. And so she builds up this really engaging and also at times quite chilling story about the last woman. I think it was the 1840s, the last woman executed
in Finland. This was a feature in Australian Story, I think it was, earlier this year. It was a fascinating sort of return to Finland with Hannah Kent.
Yes, and the landscape is really
extraordinary,
quite extraordinary,
isn't it?
Especially reading it from Australia, because they, you know, there's those long periods of darkness. And so as a novel that takes you somewhere else and makes you think about another place, as well as sort of classic narrative and storytelling, if you've got that and My Island Homicide next to each other, you're really thinking about the world and where fiction can take you.
What about fantasy or sci-fi? What have you got there?
Well, I don't read a lot of it, but I do read some. And so China Miéval, for example, had a new novel out this year called Railsea, which I haven't got to yet. But Margaret Atwood, who's one of the leaders in the field of sort of literary science fiction and speculative fiction, the latest in her trilogy that started with Oryx and Crake and in the Year of the Flood. I've read both of those, but I haven't had a chance yet to read Mad Adam, and that's one that I'm very keen on. But just this week, I finished reading a whole trilogy from a guy called Scott Lynch, an American writer. I'd never heard of him. I was sent the third in the series. It's called Republic of Thieves, and it's these characters called the Gentleman Bastards, who are a group of thieves in this sort of early 19th century city. I got completely hooked. I had to go back. And to be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I found myself going back and reading the earlier two novels as well. It completely hooked me in.
Well, that sounds like a page turn. It sounds like one that I'd be into. And while we've been concentrating on the page turners, has there been anything that surprised you lately?
There have two books, actually, that that I didn't know what to expect. One is by a woman called Laurie Hulse Anderson. She's an American writer, and it's been labelled a young adult novel, but to me it's just a novel. And it's called The Impossible Knife of Memory. And it's told from the perspective of a young woman called Hayley, who's about 17. So she's a teenager at high school. And from the first pages, she is just brimming with attitude. She's angry, she's defiant, she's funny. She divides the world into the zombies and the freaks, and she's a freak. And it's set in America, small town America. This character has been on the road for the past 5 years with her father, who is a returned veteran who'd been in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he is a seriously damaged man. Now, I actually got to speak to the author this week. The interview won't be on air until next year, but her father was also a veteran, and they were also, as a family, haunted by memories of the war, by alcohol and drug use, and so she's taken this experience of a different war and a different type of veteran, and she's turned it into this novel that I think this character, Hayley, gives Holden Caulfield a run for his money. It's really very interesting, powerful. It's mostly from Hayley's perspective, but we do get some glimpses into the life and the mind of the father. And it's not sugar-coated. There's nothing sentimental about it. So this man is violent and unpredictable, and he loves his daughter and supports her. And she's come from that unschooled tradition where they were on the road. She learned a whole lot of things about some areas, not very much in others. And the things she didn't understand, but in some ways, of course, Kathy, none of us really understand how this works. She didn't know the rules of high school.
You know, I can remember those days.
Well, exactly. But she's a little bit more at sea than most because she's been out of that system. And so suddenly she's back in the hometown where she was born. And so she's having to confront both memories and adolescence and being an outsider and all these little triggers of memory that she has been sublimating, I guess. She hasn't been able to remember her own childhood. So it's quite a complex novel. It's only a small novel. Whereas one of the things that's been really noticeable this year is how many big novels are out there, like really big novels, like 700-page novels. This was one that I read quite quickly, in one evening.
Oh, well, that's sort of more for this time of the year, certainly. I think some of those bigger novels tend to put you off simply because of time.
Can I throw in, have I got time to throw in one or two of those big novels, though, that are also page-turners?
Definitely. You've got about a minute for me.
Oh, okay. Amy Tan's The Valley of Amazement. It's about 700 pages long. Takes us to Shanghai, 1909. It's fiction, but it's partly based on her own, what happened in her own family, where possibly her grandmother was a Chinese courtesan. It's a fascinating story. And Elizabeth Gilbert's The Signature of All Things is wonderful. That's all I'll say about that one, because we probably don't have much time for me to tell you why I think it's wonderful.
But you will be joining us again next week for a selection. Perhaps we could go through a little bit more in detail then.
Yes, because I'd like to turn to those books that you need a bit more time and space to concentrate on, imagining that as the new year opens, we might not have to read the page turners quite so quickly, that we can settle into some, you know, quite serious reading. How does that sound, Kathy?
It sounds like an aspiration. Kate Evans, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, and best wishes for the Christmas period to you too.
And Merry Christmas to you. You, of course, can hear Kate Evans on Sunday afternoon on Books Plus after the 2 o'clock news.